Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell.
Welcome to Tim Dillon's Going to Hell, everybody. We are here on the back deck again with my friend, comedian, very funny, Kevin Tinkin.
Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks
again.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Again, folks, we're outside. You might hear a little, you might hear a helicopter.
Yeah. The screech of an eagle.
You might hear something like that, but you don't have to get on the DM and tell me about it, unless it's a positive fucking comment. Unless you're like, this is so fucking nice that you're doing this outside.
Yeah.
Because we got some ambient noise in the background so I can fall asleep. I imagine most of you fall asleep listening to the sound of my voice. I hope that that's...
That's how I get sober.
Yeah.
So I listen to the sound of your voice.
I wonder how many people are listening to this show either sobering up or relapsing.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the two.
If you're going through a police checkpoint, you've had a few drinks, throw on a pod, sober up.
Yeah. So, you know, but I like doing them outside. Maybe it's something about being in LA. There's something nice about being outside here. New York City. You know, there's so many fucking people everywhere. You can't do anything outside without involving the neighbor or, you know.
Somebody hollering at you to get some bootlegs.
Yeah. Somebody. That doesn't. Yeah. Or somebody selling their mixtape.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
You ever have the guy that comes up to the gas station and goes, hey, I want to give you my CD. And then he goes, 10 bucks.
No, I've never had it at a gas station.
That's happened to me.
In New York, they do it in Times Square.
Yeah.
But you know what? How much better off are those guys than most people that we know?
Oh, yeah. They're actually trying to sell something, at least.
They're trying. They figured out a marketing strategy for their fucking art.
Dude, it's direct to marketing.
I was a tour guide in New York City on the double-decker buses, and we would get people. And then, like, a British woman came up to me, and she's like, I gave a man $60 in Central Park. He sold me a CD. She's like, are there really 100,000 homeless children in New York? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe. Probably. I don't know. Then she goes like this. She goes, well, that man told me that if I bought his CD, the money goes to the homeless children. It's a donation for the homeless children in New York. There's 100,000 homeless. And I'm like, I told her, I'm like, ma'am, you know, did he have any, like, it was just a guy that walked up to her with a CD, which, by the way, brilliant move on his part. Instead of just being like, because what they do is if you've ever, in New York, they give you the CD for free. They go like, hey, and then they'll take it back if you won't give them money.
Yep.
They put the CD in your hand and they go, hey, by the way, I'm a struggling artist. I'm trying to get my music out there. So all these British people and like people from Norway come over because they've never seen black people.
Oh, yeah.
So they're excited.
Yeah.
To get a CD from a black, and they want to act like they're cool. You know what I mean? Because people, don't get mad at me. There's not a lot of white people doing this.
One of the shadows.
There's not a
gentlemen.
Lot of white people slinging mixtapes in Central Park or in Times Square. There's just not. It's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I bet these mixtapes are good. It's not a lot of white kids doing this. Anybody, by the way, if you see a white person doing this, shoot them. Like, the cops should be able to shoot white people who are selling mixtapes.
We got to get those numbers up anyway.
Right.
We got to get those white kids getting shot numbers up.
I mean, I'm not a big guy on cultural appropriation, but I'll tell you right now, every now and then I see something that make me sick. A white kid selling a mixtape will throw me into a funk. I'll be like, that is not your fucking turf. Get the fuck out of here. But
it's the wrong area.
It's the wrong area. But you do see that. You do see that. A lot in terms of like these foreign people that want to be cool.
Dude, they're hustling.
And then they get this mixtape, and then they're like standing there, and then a lot of them will just give the money because they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know. They're like, well, I don't want to, you know, so they're guilty.
Oh,
You know, some Scandinavian family. Yeah. Some of them don't. It really depends on.
We went to the States and we changed the entire economic structure by buying a few mixtapes from some gentlemen in the park.
Yeah, we just helped.
Yeah.
I knew the woman got ripped off as soon as she said to me, are there 100,000 homeless in New York? As soon as she said that, I'm like, who beat you out of what?
Yeah.
Like, what did you get beaten out of?
Well, those are the type of stats you can't put on a SoundCloud upload either. You
and know by the way, like, it's one of those questions where I'm like, I don't know, probably.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know. It sounds high, but then it also sounds low. Like, I don't, it's one of those stats where you don't really know. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. I'm homeless, I think. I don't know if I have a home. Yeah, like, I don't.
Somebody told, he's like, hey, I'm not slinging the CDs hard enough. He goes, are you mentioning the homeless?
Yeah.
Are you mentioning the homeless in New York?
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. It's like, you can't just lead with the music. You got to lead with a social ill.
Yeah.
Children work well.
Yeah, my grandma got gangrene. Can you buy my album?
Yeah. Yeah, is there any way... Is it true that everybody's grandmother here has gangrene? Is that true? Does every elderly person have a flesh-eating bacteria in New York? Is that true?
He showed me his foot and I felt obliged.
I just spent $80 on a CD for a man whose grandmother has necrotizing fasciitis.
He felt like he deserved it and he's working for it, that's so one I of felt
those,
fine.
That's one of those diseases I really, like, you know... I'm a serious or was a serious hypochondriac, and I still kind of fuck with it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, necrotizing fasciitis, which is the flesh-eating back, every now and then a kid goes swimming in a lake, and then three-quarters of his body is, like, eaten by a flesh-eating bacteria.
That's terrifying.
I know.
Dude, there's this girl I used to work with. She got bit by a black widow, and it looked like that shit. Like, it was
really?
All, yeah, it was, like, the spidering veins coming out, and then she just cut it open, the doctors did, and it looked like she just had a vagina on the side of her leg.
Really?
Like, dude, I'm telling you, it was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen, and it terrified. I'm still more terrified of spiders today.
I mean, listen, a lot. It's rare that you'll die. I did a report on spiders in eighth grade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. I did a report on spiders. It was for the science fair.
That's impressive.
And by the way, the science fair, you're supposed to do like an experiment. The teacher was like, "This has nothing to do." I brought a tarantula in from a pet store.
Yeah.
The teacher was like, "This is nothing." You know, all the other kids did like experiments,
the volcano.
Or like the volcano.
Yep.
Or like this is how water changes from a gas to a solid. She's like, your science fair project is just that there are spiders. She's like, this is because I just loved spiders. I'm like, yeah, this is a tarantula.
Dude, you're a weird kid.
I was weird, but I was just also like, I thought it was funny and cool that I just brought a spider in. And the teacher was like, this checks off none of the boxes of what a technical science fair project is supposed to be. But I got to have a spider for a week, and the only way that I was able to do that is telling my mother that I need it for a science fair project.
It's for school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we got to go get a tarantula.
Dude, my girl just did a science fair.
How old?
She's 9.
Okay.
And she literally, I went and saw it at the school. I didn't want to say anything.
Right.
But like everybody else, they looked nice. Their parents obviously helped more than we did. and hers.
You let her on her own a little bit.
We let her kind of, you know, it's her science project. I'm there to guide, but I got video games to play.
Hey,
you know.
Kev, she's 9. If she hasn't figured it out by now,
exactly.
She never will.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
She's got to learn how to fail right, you know.
Right, yeah.
But hers is literally just a bunch of oranges in a plastic cup, like. I'm not even kidding. It was
what
like
is it supposed to be.
It was like a 2 gallon jug of water that we cut the top off of, and there's oranges in there, and it's supposed to be whether oranges float with the peel on or the peel off.
Oh,
and so, but when we went there was no water. It was just oranges.
What is this, like an autistic science fair? It's like a weird obsession for anyone to have.
They're just excited to get the kids involved in the scientific process. You know what I mean?
What's great about the science fair is you can really see whose parents should be in jail, you know, by what a kid will come in with.
There's social services at the door.
Yeah, like some crackhead kid will come in, like his parents are crackheads. He'll come in with like the poster board's not even done, you know, the oak tag. He's got like papers that aren't, it's like he hand wrote it and he just glued it on.
Yeah.
Everyone else, all the other kids have like, you know, just like post like cards that are like, fixed onto the oak tag. It looks really nice. It's colorful. It's attractive.
He just ripped the paper out of one of those binders with all the spools on the sides. So it's all frayed.
Yeah, this poor kid's just fucking sitting there at his dining room table trying to do this while his parents cook up a rock in the next room. And like, you know, they just walk out and look at it and They go, this is, it'll do.
Yeah.
That's fine, son.
We're just glad Timmy's getting involved. We're just glad he's participating.
Yeah. I was in a few of those houses when I was growing up because I was a hooligan. I was a kid that wanted to, like, get drugs all the time, yeah. Right?
You never smoked crack, did you?
I freebased cocaine.
Okay.
And I remember one of the funniest
times. The JV of crack?
Yeah. We took rocks of coke. We didn't cook it up to make it crack, but we put them in we freebasing and it was basically crack. And when somebody in the house said to us, they're like, this is basically crack. We just laughed so hard. We were 14. It was one of those times where we just laugh.
We're smoking crack.
And we're just like, they're like, this is basically crack. And I looked at my buddy and I went, we're basically smoking crack. And we fell down laughing. It was just one of those middle school memories that a lot of people don't have. But, like, I would every now and then, like, there was this kid, Ryan, whose parents were drunks. And, like, you know, and we went, like, once we went into his house to smoke some weed. And he's like, hey, before you go in here, you know, my house is kind of dirty. He was, like, ashamed of it, you know. And I was like, dude, I hang out at, I'm not going to say their names, but I was like, I hang out at Blank Blank, you know, which was the coke house in town. And he's like, no, I know. And he kind of laughed. I was like, I don't give a fuck, dude. But a lot of my childhood was spent in absolutely filthy houses with, like, cigarette burns in the carpet, ashtrays overflowing with cigarette Dutch guts everywhere.
What's Dutch guts?
You know, vanilla Dutches, people smoke blunts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, just tobacco all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Those shitty linoleum kitchen floors, you know, stains in the carpet, you know, one leather couch that you pull a cigarette stained blanket over yourself and maybe you take a half hour nap.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
I don't trust anybody who hasn't pulled a cigarette stained ratty blanket over themselves on a fucking coming down from coke, trying not to die.
The rats keep you warm.
Yeah, I mean, my friend Michael just got an apartment and this guy's like, he's the only friend I've made that I made from the podcast, and I met him. He came to a show at the Stand once, and he's a good looking guy, you know, fucks a lot of chicks, successful guy, not crazy successful, but, you know, he's doing the right thing.
The Tim Dillon demographic.
Well, not that listens to the show, I imagine not. I imagine he's kind of an outlier. I don't know who's out there, but I'll tell you right now, from the messages I get, I would imagine that he's in the top 1% of people that listen to this show, just in the sense that he's always had his freedom, you know? But the first time I met him, he was bleeding. Like, I said to him, like, he came up to me, he's like, I'm a huge fan of the show. And I looked at him, I'm like, dude, you're bleeding. And his arm was bleeding, and he just kind of laughed it off. He didn't know how he was bleeding. And
that's a sincere compliment, though. If a man goes out of his way who's actively bleeding to tell you he likes something you're doing, you're on the right track.
Yeah, no, he's one of these dudes who women love him and guys like, but there's a certain type of dude who, like, wants to be taken seriously by dudes and isn't.
Yeah.
And because he's like the dude who fucks everybody's chick. But I don't mean that he fucks everyone's chick. I just mean he's a dude that gets pussy.
Yeah.
And he's devoted a lot of time and energy to that. And by the way, I was telling him tonight, I'm like, dude, you have a better life. Like, we were talking about our lives and I'm like, yeah, I've been able to do some cool shit, but I kind of just would, like, sometimes I just want to look like him and just fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, not, that's the goal.
But he's like, yeah, but he goes, you know, but then you're like not, you don't feel the pressure to, like, be successful and, like, do things or whatever. So it's like, whatever, the grass is greener. But yeah. I'm just like, if I look like you, I would just fuck surfers all day. I'd have AIDS and wouldn't care.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't care. I would want to be, like, you know, like, I would just be, like, so hot, or I'd be, like, right before I fuck somebody, be like, I have AIDS, and this dude, the good guy, would be like, who cares?
Yeah.
Be like,
guess we're rolling the dice tonight.
And he's not an amazing-looking guy, but he's good enough-looking, and he's thin. He's just thin.
Yeah.
And that's where it's at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's like Ben over here. I mean, he's a good-looking guy. Ben? He could be boning down all over town. Instead,
Michael's got a sexual energy.
Yeah.
Like, but Michael's like, he's in it to fuck.
Yeah.
You can feel it. Ben's better looking than Michael, but like, Michael just get, like, Michael can just go in and just fuck. He's just that guy.
Yeah.
Like, when you're sitting at a table with him, he like, you know, he wants to be fucking.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to do this other thing. And like ask me about my podcast, like he gives a shit, you know?
Yeah.
And he does. He does care, but he just wants to be fucking some 19-year-old girl at USC, and I get it. You know what I mean? I get it. But he also like, he's, you know, so I was just like, you know, so he just gets this, but he's also a guy who like always makes the wrong decisions when it comes to like where he live. Like he makes these bad real estate decisions, like, and he loves complaining about them, and he's a guy, and not in a funny way, like there are people like this, there are people that just do things so they can complain about them.
Yeah,
like he moved in, he comes out to LA, him, you know, him and his, he, him, and he met some dude, some guy who's another good looking in shape guy who happened to be a psychopath, and he didn't know this, but he like moved in with this guy. And then like a day later, the guy is like, the guy has all these mental problems. The guy's got some girlfriend in New York. But the guy's like all over the place. The guy tells Michael, he moves in with Michael.
Yeah.
And then he tells him, he goes like, as Michael's moving in, he goes, you know, I went on a, my uncle's a rich guy, used to take us on vacation. And I woke up one day and he had his hand down my pants when I was like,
how long have they known each other?
Literally hours. Hours. He's moving in the boxes, right?
They're eating Chinese food together, just going.
So Michael's like, oh, okay, you know, hey, you know, this is.
Good story.
Yeah. So, and then the guy says to him, he goes, I just kept going on vacation with him. It kept kind of happening, but, you know, he had a lot of money or whatever. And so, like, Michael tells me this, and I'm like, yeah, I'm telling you right now, you made a big mistake again.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a big, big mistake. Michael's like, yeah, this guy seems like a real problem. The kid would be like crying. Like he would come home. The kid's
really?
Crying. Yeah. And then the kid's like, and then Michael's like, I don't really know if I could live with you. And the kid's like, but I still want to be friends with you. I thought you were one of my best friends. Literally, they know each other.
Dude.
48 hours at this point. Like, so I'm like, oh, this is total. But my, one of the reasons Michael likes me is he's attracted to crazy people. He likes crazy people.
Yeah, they're,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I have to monetize my crazy, so there's a limit to how crazy I can get.
Yeah.
I have to be crazy in the parameters of civil society.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But this dude does not. So he would come home and the kid would be, and then the kid starts saying to him, like, if you leave, I don't know what I'll do, man. I'm afraid of myself. Like, I don't know if he's threatening Michael or threatening to kill himself.
Good
or
God.
Whatever. So finally,
and they just moved in together, or they just
literally this is all under 72 hours.
Jesus.
Where the kid is threatening to harm himself, saying, because the kid's on drugs, he's got all these problems, and Michael's calling me. He's like, I'm so mad at myself. I don't know why I did this. And I'm like, I know why you did it, because you were just like, you saw a beautiful apartment.
Yeah.
This kid seemed like a whatever, but you know. So he then gets this apartment. Now he's living in this place in Marina Del Rey.
Oof.
Now, Marina Del Rey. Here's the thing, man. Here's the thing here. I got to, you know, and he's like, he's one of my best friends. And he knows that I have to broadcast this, you know, to hundreds of thousands of people. It is what it is. But when you're friends with me,
yeah,
my parents know this. They, you know?
Yeah.
I want to do a live podcast for my mother's mental institution, but all of the people I want to have on keep dying. Literally. One of them died the other day. And so it's like,
oh no,
this is tough. But I'm like, I'm going to
open. One of the inmates or one of the patients?
Yeah, no, they're in. Listen, buddy. How about this? You could call them patients, but they can't leave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So inmate is fine for that. Okay. I know we want to be all sweet on them, but a patient can go outside. The inmate, you know what I mean? My mother can go out, but it's, you got to sign a waiver and take her out and then bring her back in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Swap responsibility.
So Michael goes and gets his apartment in, like, you know, this like, it looks like a hotel. It looks like an older hotel. It's like one of these complexes. Popcorn ceilings. You know those, like, ceilings?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
all carpet. The whole his apartment is all carpet. The halls are carpeted. There's stains everywhere.
The halls are carpeted?
The halls.
Oh, the halls.
The halls. You know, there's
gotta smell great.
It looks like the hotel from the Florida Project, you know?
Yeah.
But with none of like the fun people. But maybe there are some fun people. Like, yeah, I think he smoked a little weed in his apartment and he got a note slipped under the door and they're like, hey, I'm on dialysis. I can't close the window. I'm not strong enough to open the window. Please, you know, there's a lot of dangers of secondhand smoke. And he was just like, okay, you know.
Yeah, but like, a lot of positives of smoking weed, though, if you're on dialysis.
Right, right. Yeah, but he, you know, so who knows? He's probably getting blamed for a lot of other shit that's going on there. But, like, nobody forced him to make this decision, right?
Yeah.
And the place has a pool and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I walk in and I'm like, you know, this is, it's he's spending like $2,400 a month, $2,500 a month.
Ocean view?
Stop. There's no ocean view. But he's like, I'm two blocks from the beach. Here's the thing, folks. What is this need to live by the beach? What psychosis is this? Like, I'm two blocks from the beach. You're either on the beach or you're not.
Yeah.
I'm an hour from the beach. Same shit. You're either on the beach or you're not on the beach.
You either have to put shoes on or you don't.
Beach towns are disgusting. They're full of drunks, junkies. It's true. The
yeah.
people that are attracted to the beach, 10% of them are upstanding people that want to jog and do volleyball, and the other 90% of them are homeless heroin addicts.
Yeah.
So every beach, Venice, you go down to Venice, it's like, who would want to live in this? I would rather live at the Gathering of the Juggalos than live in these beach towns. Like, even Malibu is dirty. And shit, like, I understand if you have a mansion and you have a view of the whatever, but
it's filthy.
It's filthy. And I'm a water guy. I'm a beach guy. I love it. I grew up in a beach town. I get it.
Yeah.
You know what we used to do when I grew up on the beach? We used to sniff cocaine on it mm-hmm. at night. And like all the people that bought houses on the beach were like, who are these dirt bags? Yeah.
We're your kids.
What the hell's this? Why is this, you know, smoking weed and doing blow on the beach? That's what people do on the beach.
It's a good time.
So he's like, yeah, I'm two blocks from the beach. And then he starts saying things. He's like, you know, he's a guy with like very specific complaints. He's like, there's nowhere to get an $8 food item here.
Yeah, no shit.
I'm like, yeah. He's like, it's either a lot of money or it's like, is it, there's just nowhere to get an $8 food item. And he acts like he was, you know, somebody at gunpoint put a gun in his mouth, dragged him into this place and said, sign this lease or we're going to blow your brains out of the back of your skull. That's what he acts like. But he did this completely voluntarily because he kind of likes, I think there's some part, you know, because he's like, all the things that are better are 35 and I can't, you know, I can't spend that much. I can't. So yeah. I have to be in this. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, at a certain point, you got to realize if you keep making these decisions, there's a reason you keep making them. There's a reason you keep making them. You know, you want to be in a position that you don't. It is what it is. I'm not judging anybody. I've made a lot of bad choices in my life, but not the bad choices that anyone thinks. Like,
right. You're not signing leases on shitty apartments.
I'll sign anything. I haven't signed anything in 10 years. You know?
Yeah. Is it?
Last thing I signed was a mortgage note for $670,000.
It's a good investment.
And guess what? That didn't work out well for me or the people that gave me $670,000 when I was coked out and 23 years old and I showed up in a sweaty coke panic signing papers. That's the last thing I signed.
Dude, that,
you know?
But that was the sign of the times. I mean, that's how you did a loan signing back then.
If you didn't buy a house with a subprime mortgage and lose it, you're a cuck.
Yeah.
Straight up. You're a fucking cuck. If you didn't go on the fucking ride like all of us good Americans,
yeah,
Then fuck you.
Dude, I was. I had
you
an upside down mortgage.
Be in this country.
Yeah, I was right there with you.
There's no debtor's prison. This isn't Dubai where they lock you up in jail because you can't pay for something.
Yeah.
You just declare bankruptcy. Declaring bankruptcy, which I haven't done, and I will probably, but eventually, maybe, I don't know. But declaring bankruptcy.
Make sure you buy a nice fridge before you do.
I will celebrate my bankruptcy at a beautiful restaurant in Beverly Hills. Like, yeah. People say to me, oh, you defend capitalism. I don't really defend capitalism. All I know about capitalism is you borrow a lot of money, you don't pay it back, and no one can put you in a cell.
Yeah.
That's my understanding of capitalism.
It's the American dream.
Now it hurts your kids or whoever's around for it. I'm not advising this, but I'm a lone wolf here. Right. I'm wandering around the desert alone. If you hand me a bag of money and say, this will work out, I'm going to say, I bet it will. Why am I going to tell you? Do I know better than Wells Fargo what I need? No. And they said I needed a bag of money. And I was inclined to agree with them.
Ah, Wells Fargo, baby.
But Michael's a legit guy. He's got credit. He's a real person.
Yeah.
Got a hot little girlfriend who's a nurse.
Yeah.
They could make a real fucking life of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, I don't know.
He's working?
He's in the weed thing now. He came out here to get into this weed business because he had a really good job.
Fantastic.
And he wanted to come out here, and he got rid of that job, but he wanted to come out here because, listen, unless you get involved in one of these businesses that the potential to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's the Wild West out here with weed, you know?
Yeah.
Laws are changing every day. Companies are emerging. People trying to, there's a huge group of people that come out to this state with law degrees that want to be consultants, that want to take a lot of these mostly illegal operations and make them legal. And there's a lot of people that are trying to get into that business, and I think he was in a position in his company where he's like, I'll make 150 grand a year every year till I'm dead, go to Mets games, have a nice house on Long Island, or let me fucking take a shot. Yeah. I think he saw a guy like me who is fucking taking a shot. You know, I make tens of thousands of dollars a year.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I have hundreds of fans, and I think he saw that, and he said, I want to be a guy like Tim who puts it all on the line, you know, yeah, so that he can fucking stay in his friend's spare room every now and then. That's what he wants. And that type of inspiration is why I'm here. I'm here so that people that have good lives can throw them away in the hopes that there's something great on the other side of it, because fucking I was on a podcast people listen to.
Yeah. No, you've made it. I mean, you've made it.
People think I am like, somebody said to me the other day, like, you're probably getting ready to buy a house. I'm like, I'm getting ready to buy a gun. Are you nuts? I make no money, and all the money I make is taken from me, from my agent and my manager.
Yep.
Who deserve that occasionally. My agent does, and my manager is, I enjoy him, you know? And so what you, I make a third of my money, and then there's taxes, and then there's, you know, so, but I do think there's a lot of risk, and it's exciting, and I get that.
Yeah.
To a guy like him, you know, we've had talks about this. He's like, I want to do something exciting. You know, I want to be part of it. I want to be a millionaire. I want to have all this. But what I think he doesn't realize is that, like, none of that really, like, it's good and it's great to make money, but I don't think it matters in the way that he thinks it matters. Like, I think, you
also,
know.
Like, if fulfillment wise.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I think what he doesn't realize is that the people that make that kind of money, their entire, unless you get really lucky,
yeah,
their entire life is dedicated to making that kind of money.
Right.
Yep. Everything they do. You know, people, when people think about making money, they think about vacations. They think about, oh, this is the house I'll live in. And the rich people that I know, when they're on a vacation, they're not even on it mentally. They're somewhere else thinking about their fucking business, thinking about, you know.
They're on the phone on a beach somewhere yelling at somebody.
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
So I think that there's, you know, because he works for, you know, people that are, you know, really committed to. But, you know, he sees, you know, the first class airfare, the big houses, the big money. And listen, you want that. And I get it. And God bless him. I hope he makes all the money he wants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I hope he makes all the money he wants and he'll be very happy. You know, I mean, what's nice about him is he doesn't, you know, he knows the apartment is shit.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to pretend like, you know, this is, it reminded me of one of those crack houses I hung out at when I was 13.
Yeah.
I'm like, should we start crushing up rocks? Like, what are we doing here?
Marina Del Rey.
Yeah, why are you living? Well, I'm by the beach. I try to walk down to the beach every day before work. Why? Why? Again, you're having it. That's not a rich thought. That's not a rich person thought. Before work, there is no before work, and there's no after work. There's just fucking work.
Yeah.
What are you going around fucking with seals in the morning?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, sometimes I could maybe I jump in the water in the day. You've not earned the beach. You've not earned the beach. You get no beach. That's a great John Mulaney joke where he talks about all these house hunter shows. Mm-hmm. Where John Mulaney's like, and now another episode of, oh, who doesn't deserve a beach house? You know,
folks. I don't know how many times I have to fucking tell you that CBD is the only medication that you need. I don't care what ailment the medical industrial complex tells you you have. They're lying. Doesn't matter. Cancer, not real. These things are fake. HIV, pfft, yeah, okay. What is this, the 80s? There's nothing you need. Nothing that cannot be cured with a little CBD. Okay? That's the fact. Infinite CBD uses a double extraction method followed by refining the CBD. It is now 99% CBD. Baby crying, CBD. Old person with dementia, maybe Alzheimer's, CBD. Rare blood disorder, CBD. Doesn't matter. Broken arm, CBD. Okay? There's all kinds of products. Freezing point topical cream. It's great for injuries and sore muscles. CBD gummies. Very calming. Great for insomnia. CBD AM. CBD pills with caffeine get you up and into the day. Okay? If you're depressed, if you're anxious, if you perceive the world around you accurately, you probably have some problems. You look at yourself in the mirror, you're not happy with what you see. Don't get down on yourself. Get CBD. I'm telling you, it's the only thing that helps. Fuck therapy. Doesn't work. Nothing worse than sitting and divulging your secrets in front of some clown. Go and get Infinite CBD. If you want to go to Skankfest, which is the only other thing you need in your life, if you're depressed, anxious, sick, go to Skankfest. A doctor, if a doctor was fucking worth anything, they would say, what's wrong? You feel upset? Hey, doc, I want to end it all. If a doctor was worth their salt, they would say, well, let me ask you a question. Are you going to Skankfest? Because Skankfest, for many people, is like a pilgrimage to Mecca for religious Muslims. They go to Mecca and see Mecca. It's a pilgrimage they must make in their lifetime. Now, that is also how people that vape feel about Skankfest. It is a pilgrimage that they must make in their lifetime because they want to vape in Brooklyn, okay? Every week leading up to Skankfest, Infinite CBD will be giving out a pair of tickets, $450 value, plus a $200 Infinite CBD bundle pack for a free lucky fan. Don't be stupid. This is a way to get to Skankfest. The only thing you have to pay is travel. And what do you give a fuck? You fly Spirit. Take a mega bus. Doesn't matter. You get the free tickets. You get a $200 Infinite CBD bundle. Go to InfiniteCBD.com. Use a promo code TIM15. You get 15% off your order. Everybody's using CBD. They're spending millions of dollars, billions of dollars, trying to keep these products off the market. Pharmaceutical companies are. A lot of pharmaceutical execs murder each other. We're going to do a whole episode on that. These people are fucking nuts. And they want to keep CBD out of your hands because they know it'll make you feel better and more confident. It'll help your muscles, help your anxiety. It'll take the edge off. And they don't have to market you all their fucking pills. This is all true. This is all a fact. And it's a great way to support the show. If you're going to fuck with CBD, this is a great way to support this particular show, this network. And I'm telling you,
Don't go to the doctor anymore. It doesn't matter. I don't care what is wrong with you. Okay? Nothing. There is nothing. There is no disease. There is no ailment that cannot be cured with CBD. Take it from me, folks. Weird rash, CBD. Doesn't matter. Pissing and shitting blood, CBD. Crazy headaches, aneurysms, brain tumors, aggressive cancer, rare blood disease, falling asleep in the middle of the day. Doesn't matter. CBD. Okay? Big Bang Lube. Got the CBD Big Bang Lube. How about that? Goes right into the bloodstream, relaxes you while you're performing sodomy on a friend or a lover. Folks, May 16th, I'm at Laugh Boston. June 20th to the 23rd, I'm at Mohegan Sun. You want tickets to these? Go look at the new website we have for the show and my stand-up dates using Wix. TimDillonsGoingToHell.com. TimDillons. GoingToHell.com. We don't have the is because some fucker already owns that and he thinks we're going to go into some bidding war. We're not. Okay? You can also go there to check out past audio and video episodes of the podcast. Wix is the best and easiest way to create professional websites, okay? You can start from scratch or choose over 500 stunning templates. They have a very innovative drag-and-drop website builder. It's the world's most innovative. You can easily customize your site, add text, images, videos, whatever you want. You can even use their Wix ADI, Artificial Design Intelligence. Just answer a few simple questions about what the nature of your business is, and they will design a site that helps you get out there into the world. I've talked about the need for a website before. A lot of people don't think they need a website. They're dead fucking wrong. They think they could just go on social media, put all their content on Instagram next to a photo of them having a hot dog or next to a photo of a fucking cute dog they saw. This doesn't fucking work. Be a professional. You need a website. You need some type of home for all of your content. Doesn't really matter what you do. Okay, I have a website. Everyone I know has a website. There's no successful person out there that doesn't have a fucking website. Okay, I guarantee you. Even the guys, the Instagram YouTuber guys, they all have fucking websites. Okay, online is the future, folks. Everything you love is over. Everything you're used to is over. Radio's done. TV is done. The family is done. Government is done. God is done. All of those things are done. Now, you can be upset about that. That might bother you, some of you, and maybe some of you have a point. I don't know. I don't have time to litigate the issue with you. But I'll tell you for a fact, every institution that has given you comfort in the world has crumbled. Your children will not grow up with these institutions. They will grow up in a chaotic Mad Max situation where groups of people fight each other for food, water, and resources. They will grow up in a world where there is no objective truth or reality, but they will decide what objective truth and reality they want to live in, and they will be aided by technology. They will grow up in a virtual reality sphere, and the only thing that will interrupt that is the bombing or the firing of a gun, which I imagine will happen all the time, depending on how quickly the resources evaporate and how aggressive climate change is and how many people are displaced. Again, this is what I think. In a time like that, imagine not having a website. You'd have to be insane to not have a website during such a period of uncertainty. A website is a great place to dock your boat. Your boat being your content, your social media, your links, who you are. And you got to do it. Here's the other thing, folks. Go to TimDillonsGoingToHell.com, D-I-L-L-O-N-S, GoingToHell.com, no is. Click the link at the bottom. Wix gives you 10% off any premium plan. And I've said this before, and I will say this again. If you prove to me, if you send me a screenshot that you purchased the Wix premium plan through my site, I will give you 3 minutes on this show to advertise whatever you're doing. We have an audience of tens of thousands of people. A lot of people here, okay? Not quite 100, but we're almost there. There's a lot of people listening. So if you have 2 to 3 minutes, or you want to tell me to go fuck myself and you hate me, You want to threaten me? Whatever you want to do. Threaten my family? I don't give a shit. You can do it if you buy the Wix premium plan through my website and get the 10% off. You get 3 minutes on this show minimum. If you're good, we will go longer with you. Many of you will not be good. You're not broadcasters. Your thoughts have no value. Many of you, the majority of you out there, your thoughts have no value. But maybe they do. Maybe I'm wrong about that. You'll get 3 minutes on Tim Dillon's Going to Hell. All it will cost you is a Wix premium plan that you purchase. How? You go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com, D-I-L-L-O-N-S, goingtohell.com, and click the link at the bottom. You could also buy tickets for my upcoming stand-up appearances there, and you could check out some audio-video archives of the podcast there, too. It's a great one-stop shop. You could check out my Rogan episode. You could check out other podcasts I've done. Anything you want, you can do on the site. It's a great place to fuck around and see what I'm all about, okay? And Wix will give you 10% off any premium plan. That's where we are. So, again, what is coming down the pike? Chaos, food shortages, war, political corruption, virtual reality, augmented reality. It's going to be like Pokemon Go times 1,000. People are going to be in the street thinking that they're fighting White Walkers because there's some new Game of Thrones augmented reality game they'll all fucking be playing. It'll be literal hell. It'll be an insane asylum every single day. We're completely, the robots are coming. They're taking over. We're going to be policed by that Boston Dynamics company. Big robotic dogs on the street tearing people apart and gnashing at their teeth. That is what's coming. And in that climate, do you want to walk around and not have a website? Do you not want to have a place for your content? And if you don't have content now, it's over. You're dead. You don't exist. Fuck your family. They don't matter. Your children and your significant others do not matter. What matters is your content. What are you putting out into the world? Is it quick? Is it cheap? Is it ultimately useless? That's what content is. Is it good for a few minutes and then it goes away? It doesn't stand the test of time. It's not long-lasting or important, but you just throw it out into the ether, try to monetize it, and then die. That is what your life is. Feed the beast, okay? And you could do it by going to timdillonsgoingtohell.com and signing up for a platinum membership on Wix and getting 10% off. Thanks so much. I've been watching those, and I never got into them, but I've been watching them more and more, where people, I like the ones that are in real shithole areas,
mm-hmm.
where it's like the realtors look like shit, and they show up without shoes on,
yeah.
and they're selling people like just $300,000 beach houses in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, salt of the earth.
Yeah, salt of the earth people, yeah. and... You know, Mobile. I was when I was a kid. I was in Annie Get Your Gun, which was a show that was on Broadway. They toured it around the country. I was 11 years old. I lived on a we stayed in different hotels every night, but I lived on a tour bus. I went to Mobile, Alabama, and you know, Mobile, Alabama is. I saw the thing that I went on one of those rides where they pull you up in a harness and then let you swing. And it's still there. Like I on the dumb yeah. real estate show, we're talking 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, the same ride. Like
yeah.
Mobile, but it's just funny when the realtor is like, you know, they're telling these people like about all the different, you know, things that the house has and all the people are like really excited. They're like, you can't beat these views. Can't beat it. Can't beat these views. And it's like, yeah, but let's be honest. You're going to be in the house and you're going to, for a lot of the people on that show, not all of them, but for a lot of the people on that show, you'd be just as happy getting drunk and posting about QAnon somewhere else. You don't need to be on the beach to post about QAnon on Reddit in a methamphetamine haze. You don't need to get away. Stop this.
I like to be doing my posts on when I'm on full on crack cocaine, when there's an extra bedroom.
This town. It's real quaint. You can walk everywhere. Anyway, Guantanamo is being kept open because Barack and Hillary are going to jail for running a human trafficking ring, and Trump was sent by Jesus to, it's like, okay, but this could go on a few blocks away from the beach, probably.
Check me out at Trump Soldier 69 on the line.
Yeah, I'm sure you could really light up R. the Donalds from another location that isn't, you know, really, I don't think you need seagulls shitting on your head.
Dude, my wife watches
while
that.
You're...
My wife will watch that show and just, I just will feel so shitty while she watches it. Because we're sitting in this two-bedroom apartment in Sunland with our two kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a guy, a streetwalker that just walks into people's houses, just some random vagrant that's literally just seeing if people's doors are open and see if they got food in their house. Some dude did that to our downstairs neighbor.
I got to be honest with you. I'm trying to think of how different that guy's life is from mine. Not really that different at all. Kind of what I do.
This place open, they got sandwiches?
Yeah, that's kind of what I do. Just walking around, knocking on doors.
But we'll watch these shows and there'll be guys like in Mobile or some random middle of the country place, and they're buying these gargantuan 10,000 square foot homes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, this one's a real fixer upper. You know, it's $97,000. I know that's a bit above your budget, but you know what? If we do this, we can put a lot of improvements, you know?
Well, what's great when you learn about those shows is if you don't have to live in New York or LA, you're kind of free.
Absolutely.
You know, there's an amazing freedom you get from just being able to go somewhere else. Because some of these fucking houses, they'll be like, this house is 7,000 square feet.
Yep.
It's 18 bedrooms, 16 bathrooms, pool, you know, and it's like $300,000.
Yeah.
Because you're living in the middle of the woods. And like, I love, like, you know, they'll tell them, they're like, you won't see any neighbors. You're out here, you're secluded, you're living in the fucking woods.
Yeah, some of them, though, they're like the guy, my favorite ones are the ones where one of them will have like an archery range in the backyard, and then it's a shitty house, and then they'll show them two other houses, and the guy will be like, if I'm honest, I really want that archery range.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can put that at any of the other houses, but they can't see beyond, you know, beyond.
Well, no, and I also love the people on those shows who've clearly inherited all the money, who don't even know what a monthly payment is or what a mortgage is.
Yeah.
They have literally no clue, and they're like, it's time to get a home. We live in a house right now. And by the way, I'm imitating Southern people. I know that they're not all Southern. Don't fucking start a problem with me and tell me that they're not all Southern. I just can't do a lot of fucking accents, but a lot of them are Southern. You know, they have these beach communities like I don't even know exist. They'd be like, I want to get a beach house in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah.
I want to get a second home for my family down in Gainesville.
I want a fan boat.
You know?
I want something to go ahead and knock the gator heads
and
around.
Then, you know? And they'll be like, local realtor Susan Coleman Eddies. She's here to show this couple some options for a beach house in Gainesville, Florida. Now, Susan's son is incarcerated. Recently, she barricaded herself in the bathroom while he tried to break down the door to steal the rest of her pain medication. And Susan sadly had to put him in jail where she hopes he'll find Jesus. Susan's out here trying to show this other couple what beach house in Gainesville, Florida, in a swamp, is best to suit their needs. These realtors look haggard on these shows.
Oh,
These realtors.
Oh, they're like, beat up.
Like, beat up. They're wearing, like, beaters.
Yeah.
These realtors, a lot of them are women.
Yeah.
They show up looking like, you know,
light complected with purple lipstick.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Dark eyeliner, pencil-thin eyebrows.
Yeah, they show up, and they're just, the whole thing is super awkward. And
once we get the possums out of the garage, this place is going to be great.
Yeah. They're like, and the thing about real estate is like, there's not a ton of middle ground. So there's people that make a lot of money at it. And then there's people, and it's kind of like comedy. It's like people who really aren't realtors, but they passed that test.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're just, they don't know shit.
Yeah.
They don't know anything. And they're just kind of stumbling around a house,
yeah,
showing these other degenerates, you know.
Dude, I read, you know, the Robert Kiyosaki's The Millionaire Next Door or whatever.
Yeah.
One of those books about real estate. And I thought, oh, it's on now. I'm gonna start getting real estate and start renting it out. And nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Like, you go to these places. The guy, I remember some guy tried to get us to go to a conference for $3,000. And we show up at the conference, and the lady at the front desk doesn't even know what's going on. This was like a preview. He's like, show up. Well, the first day is free. And if you want to do the full thing, you know, and then we found out it was $3,000 while we were in the conference. But the guy's advice was go and look on the newspaper for houses.
Yeah.
That was his advice.
Right. Yeah.
Look, if you go get a paper, your local paper.
Yeah.
You go, you look in, there's houses for sale.
Right.
And you can buy them. Now, sometimes you go and you can't get a loan, maybe. Not a problem. Go in there, see if they'll be financed a loan for you.
Yeah. Real estate is like a business for people who think books are gay, you know? That's like, the people that get into real estate are retarded. Even the ones that make millions of dollars a year, they're stupid people, and they have, like, they're dumb. They're not smart. So even the big ones that are making $10 million a year in New York are simply can only talk about tile in a bathroom.
Yeah.
They have no idea what's going on. They have no idea. It's that sales ethos,
yep,
of not concentrating on anything else except making the sale.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't care. They will sell how, like, there's tents all over LA that these people drive by. People are literally like, it's fucking post-apocalyptic war zone. These people drive through it. They don't even look at it. Don't think about it. Don't care. Listening to some fucking motivate, you know?
Dude.
And then they just go walk around a house and they're like, there's a lot of natural light. There's a lot of natural light in the sunroom. And it's like, well, that's nice. Society's crumbling. Have you thought of that? That's why I would suck at that job. Because I would, in the middle of the sale, I would look at the people. Did you see the tents on the way here? Like, how long till that just, you know, boils over? And what happens? Do you think those people get weapons eventually? Or anyway, yeah, there is light here, I guess, in the room.
You can keep the swing set in the backyard.
It's like agents
want.
And managers. None of these people are. There are so few smart people in the world. There's not a lot of smart people. And sales is not a job for smart people. It's a job, but you need salespeople. I respect the hell out of salespeople. I would rather hang out with them than these fucking, there's a lot of pseudo-intellectual people who think that they're intelligent.
Right.
But what that really means is they have no social skills. So you have a lot of autists running around places that can't speak to a human being without being terrified.
Right. Well,
they
the
get
world
scared.
Is
if you say hello to them, they act like you've played a cruel joke on them. So they tend to think they're intelligent because they read, you know, Marx all day and then stumble out to an open mic. But so I'd rather some dumb, hot salesperson who's just coming all over and fucking hot and dumb as fuck and just cares about. But then there's a limit to, you know. Those people also, you're like, okay, enough's enough.
Dude, I used to work sales at Wells Fargo, and this girl came in for
what
an
I like
interview.
About Wells Fargo is that's a company that'll just bang an old person right over the head.
Oh, dude, I got a story for you, man.
Yeah.
I remember this girl came in for a job interview, and she literally had a huge scar over her neck, like she tried to behead herself.
Yeah.
And it was red, and she was like a real pale skin, and it was just so obvious. Like, it was just ridiculous. And she leaves, and I go to my manager. I go, are we going to hire? He goes, I don't know. And I go, what's with the scar, though? Don't you think that'll be a little off-putting to people? And he goes, look, man, she's hungry. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. He's like, that's all we need. I just need somebody that's hungry and has no morals and then just is willing to do whatever it takes to get the sale. I'm like, hey, fair enough.
That's what it is.
Dude,
doesn't matter.
There is this guy in his
80s. Doesn't matter if it's that guy from the last scene of Beetlejuice with that little head. As long as he's hungry and he wants to crush it.
He's hungry and aggressive.
He wants to be aggressive and crush it.
He told me he loves the phones.
As long as there's not one thought that goes through his head that doesn't correlate to fucking selling whatever horse shit we've decided people need. You know?
Dude, we had some guy in his 80s who had a house in Fresno.
Yeah.
Fresno, Central Valley, California. And the house was worth $750,000. We somehow were able to bump the values to get him a $1.2 million loan. And the lady that comes in and signs it is like this decent looking woman in her 30s with these huge 6-inch heels on. And he's over in the chair, just kind of like slumped over, barely conscious. And she's just going, well, honey, if we do this, then we can get the pool. We can get that pool and maybe even the boat we were talking about getting. Yeah. And he's just like, just barely conscious.
Yeah, that woman, by the way, they'll write an article about her that she's a victim. A victim, this woman who is like, I told that story the other week on the podcast. It's like the idea that these people are victims is kind of funny. But I love sales because of there's something cool about a sales office, because literally it's not, you know, when you look at certain businesses, people, especially the one that we're in, a lot of the writers are all Ivy fucking boys. They all fucking come from the same place. Sales office, dude, you'll have an 80-year-old guy selling shit just because he's like, I'm trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate it. Something about that I appreciate.
Guy Keith would come into work, and the hot news every day would be what he found last night.
Right.
Because he was a speedhead. And he would be like, dude, I got some nice brass. Real nice brass last night. It was a big haul.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my truck was almost full up. And I barely got to work on time.
I had some of the most fun. There was this guy named Howie I used to work with, who was a cocaine dealer and also sold mortgages, but didn't really sell mortgages because he didn't really know what they were. But he was like a 40-year-old guy. He was in his mid-30s at that point, who he should have known. And I remember just being 19 and sitting in his apartment and watching him like do cocaine. And he's like, I want to move to Santo Domingo. He goes, because that's where they treat you like a fucking person. That's where they treat you like a fucking person. And I was all coked out, just staring at him. I'm man. Yeah. Those are dark times. And then I got into those were dark times. And then you get into comedy and you're like, oh, those were great. Like those people were fine. Those people were. Somebody messaged me on Instagram saying, thank you for plugging BetterHelp.com, because BetterHelp actually helped this person. Okay. And this is true. BetterHelp, and I've tried it out myself because I don't want to try things here that I do. And it is a professional company, and it is something where they're literally trying to help people. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, specifically in my audience, probably, I don't know, I'm just guessing, who are criminally insane, mentally ill, they're unwell, okay? They're wackadoos, they're batshit crazy, whatever term you want to use, you know? My mother, you know, she's a nut. She's a schizophrenic. We call her a nut. She's a nut, you know? I don't view any of those terms as derogatory. I think, quite honestly, they're appropriate. And BetterHelp Online Counseling is a great new advancement in how to get people the help that they need, okay? It offers professional, licensed counselors who specialize in issues like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, anger, family conflicts, self-esteem, and more. BetterHelp lets you connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential. And so it's convenient. You can now get help at your own time and at your own pace. You don't have to leave your house, because we all know that's where the problems are. That's where the people are. That's where the open spaces are. That's where all of the underground tunnels are. That's where it all can go wrong. That's where you can get snatched up and put in a van. So you don't leave. You stay comfy and cozy in your apartment, eating Nutella with your thumb, whatever. And you can get help, okay? It's very hard for me to find time in my busy schedule for mental health. Also, I've monetized my insanity, which actually provides me not exactly the best, you know, not exactly, you know, doesn't give me a real fucking, what word am I looking for here? What is the word I'm looking for, Bobby? It doesn't give me a real motivation. What's the word, though? I don't know. Well, anyway, because...
Inspiration?
No. Whatever it is. I'm trying to say I'm not really motivated to fix any of my problems, because in comedy, we take those problems, we make them funny. It's the deal with the devil we make, and it's why we all die and burn in hell. But you may not feel that way, nor should you. So you should check out BetterHelp.com/TimDillon. Get started today. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a professional counselor you'll love. These are real counselors. They're real people. They're not your shitty friends. Stop telling your friends your problems. You don't have any friends. Friends are an illusion. Stop telling your family your problems. Your family, in most cases, holds you back. They smother you to try to keep you down. You have to get rid of them. Get rid of your friends. Get rid of your family. And keep a significant other only if they try to aid you in your quest for power. BetterHelp. You see how much BetterHelp's helped me? I didn't even know those things before I started going to BetterHelp. I started getting this counselor started telling me all this shit. I wish I was a counselor on BetterHelp. I would be so much fucking better. I would be so much better if I was a counselor on BetterHelp, because all you fuckers need really is someone to tell you that you suck and why. That's what counseling is. You suck. Why? Why is there a gorgeous man and woman having satisfying sex in an apartment that they fucking own with jobs they kill it at? And why are you sitting around with your mangy dog on a futon? Why? Because you suck. And I'll tell you why. But IKEA won't hire me at BetterHelp. They have people there that try to fucking really help you get to the bottom of your story, whatever. Maybe you were sold into sex slavery as a child. You know, why, why? Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's got boo-hoo-hoo. Boo-hoo-hoo. Give a shit. What I'm saying, though, is that it does help. It does work for people. God, I wish they'd hire me, because I'd give you fuckers the what for when you call. Sometimes I just don't. I'm sad and I... You shut up! That's what I'd say. My family makes me mad. Families are for losers. Chapter 1 of my new book, Be a Fucking Person. Families are for losers. Friends are for losers. Are you a loser? Folks, go to betterhelp.com/Tim Dillon, okay? You can really get help. It won't be me on the other line, sadly. And let me know. Listen, if you really sign up for BetterHelp and it's helping you, message me, tell me you like it, because the guy already did, and I appreciate that message. I don't know. I think I responded. I think I told him to kill himself, but I'm kidding. I didn't. I didn't do that. I said I'm glad. I want people to get help. You know, a lot of people, my help that I'll give you, many of you aren't ready for. You're not ready for the real truth. That's the problem with many of you. You're not ready for the real truth. Like, the people that followed Jim Jones weren't ready for the truth, so they had to all drink that potion, and they all ended up in that field. They took that long nap. Heaven's Gate, they weren't ready for the truth. They were waiting for the Hale-Bopp Comet. When I was a child, they had a great cult called Heaven's Gate, and everybody waited for a Hale-Bopp Comet, a spaceship that was riding behind the comet, to come get them, and they all drank poison and died. Imagine believing in something like that. That's your problem, people. You don't believe in anything. You ridicule those people that died in that cult. They knew purpose like you never will. Like you never will. So go to betterhelp.com/Tim Dillon, folks, and really get on board here. Because if you're lucky, you're one of those people that thought that spaceship was coming behind a comet and they drank the poison. And that's what I'll turn all of you into. If I worked at BetterHelp, I would turn you into people that believed in something so fucking much that you were willing to drink poison and wait for a spaceship coming behind the comet. That would be my goal. But that's, be honest with you, it's why they have not hired me. And that's fine, because I still think they are a great service. BetterHelp.com/Tim Dillon. Go get help. Thank you. I got shit on the other day. I wrote this tweet about this movie, Love, Simon, which is a movie. I don't know if you've seen Love, Simon.
I haven't seen it.
It was a book. It came out in 2015. And I tweet stuff, and every now and then people get enraged at me, but this was, people were really angry. Because Love, Simon is about a gay guy who starts corresponding anonymously with another person at his school. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he then struggles with coming out of the closet, and then he comes out of the closet, but his parents are like liberal and they have a beautiful house in the suburbs and he's gorgeous and everything works out at the end, and you know,
of course,
everything's fine. And so I tweeted out like, listen, this is, you know, I understand, but listen, you know, let's stop pretending that in 2016 coming out is like it was in 1950.
Yeah.
Okay? Can we stop pretending that this isn't Angels in America where everyone's dropping dead of AIDS and basically everyone else is going good. This isn't what's going on. I'm not saying that people don't have struggles with it, especially, you know, people have different. So I just tweeted, like, listen, I was like, I have had conversations in Uber pools that are more worthy of being a show than this. It's 2019.
Yeah.
And the plot line is that this kid in the suburbs is just like, how do I do it?
Yeah.
How can I do it? His friends are all liberal. Fritz, not.
Yeah.
You're not living in the backwoods of some. So I thought that would be an innocuous thing. And the hate that I got from people.
For how?
People got so angry on Twitter. They're like, everybody's coming out story matters. Number one, it doesn't. Let's be very honest. Let me be very clear about that. It doesn't matter. I think people having access to water matters.
Yes.
To be honest, you know?
100%.
And if everyone's coming out story matters, well, then no one's matters, does it?
Yep.
Some people come out. It's a big deal. Some it's a thing. And I'm not taking it. Might matter to you personally, but who gives a shit?
Sure.
It doesn't fucking matter. So people call me heterosexual. They're like, you're a hetero. You don't understand anything about da-da-da-da-da, and you are a blah-blah. And all these people that are enraged. I'm not going to read the tweets. I don't want to give these fucking people, you know, but it was just kind of funny to me that people get so angry at the fucking idea that, no, you are not interesting just because you suck dick. It doesn't make you. It might have been 97.
Yeah.
But we got other shit now.
Yeah.
We got 3,000 genders.
Yeah.
We've got other shit. We've moved on now.
Right.
It's not. Now, I know that people don't want to trade that card in because then they have to have something to fucking. And I'm not saying it's easy for gay people. I know that I pass as a straight person, so it's easier for me. You know what I mean?
Is that the thing?
Well, that's what people say. People are like, well, you pass as a straight guy. That's why you work comedy clubs. And I said, no.
They're wearing
roller
skates.
Here's why I work comedy clubs. I make the people there laugh who've paid to be there. I don't talk about cum for an hour.
Yeah.
And I don't do I talk about sexuality in the act, and it is what, like, this whole idea now, it's like, no, I hate to say it, but it's like, it's no longer interesting. Being gay is no longer interesting.
Yeah.
It just isn't.
Dude, I got in trouble at a mic. Some girl pulled me aside outside and was just like, you're punching down, because I said I was just sitting in this mic and everybody was going up there, and essentially their whole set was, this is who I fuck, and nobody will take, you know, be okay with it. And
yeah, by the way, and everyone is everyone's
clapping. They're
people
clapping.
Like, I fuck a dog. Everyone's like, great.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Great. Yeah.
No one cares.
No, I went on stage. I was just like, I hope that there's more to you than what you put your dick in or let people put in you. I hope.
And by the way,
there
is, spoiler alert, there is not. To many of these people, there is not. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Many of these people, I look at them, I'm like, oh, thank God you were gay. Because if not, you would be a customer service rep at Geico. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's what you would do. Your conversations with people should consist of this. Were you hit from behind? Are the police on the way? Are you okay? Has an ambulance showed up? That's what it is. Nobody needs your fucking thoughts. Your thoughts have no value.
Right.
Your thoughts have no value because you put a dick in your mouth, or you put your tongue in a pussy. If you're whatever it is, no one cares. So my whole thing with Love, Simon is, and here's the other thing, right? So I'll tell you about a Love, Simon situation that I had. This is another reason that I might hate the movie, because I will now tell you about Love, Simon.
It's about you.
Yeah, but it doesn't work. My Love, Simon, you know, the Love, Simon worked out very nicely in this film, and they ended up this hot black kid, hot white kid on a Ferris wheel, and it was the last scene of the movie is like they meet each other finally on this Ferris wheel, and they're like, aren't you happy, and da 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 da, and that's not what always happens, and that's unrealistic to me, but people like that. People love that stuff.
Gotta have a bow on it.
People want the bow on it. They want it to be. But I used to, there were these blogs in like 2000 and, again, I want to say this because I never want to lie to my audience. People have remarked that hear the show, people have said, it sounds like you're smoking a cigarette on the show. And I don't smoke, and I've never smoked. And what they're hearing when I smoke a cigarette, they're hearing me enjoy a pear.
Oh, that's, yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah.
It's a pear that
I was
eating,
wondering why you keep eating
pears.
Which
is very healthy. It doesn't seem like pears are healthy, to be honest. They're so good. They're so luscious. I haven't had one in a while, except now. I'm having one now.
Oh, it's a podcast pear.
Yeah. So that's what it is. But I used to, there were these blogs where there would be these blogs, it would be like Closeted Frat Boy. And Closeted Frat Boy would write, it would be some kid who would be like in a frat in like a school, and he would just write about fucking dudes on the DL. And you would read these blogs to really get off. That's yeah. why you would read
yeah.
them.
Oh, yeah.
He would tell some story about some guy that he met. And, you know, and there are some frat guy that I didn't know was like, we all got drunk and then we all, you know.
I was getting hazed with a paddle. What they didn't know
was
that I loved every moment.
It was just porn, essentially. Yeah. But then also these kids, but you would fall in love with these guys if you kept reading, because you identified with them. You're like, mm-hmm. well, I'm in the closet and this person's in the closet and da 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 da. And they had the life that you wanted. They were, you know, good looking and they were athletic and they were all these things that you yeah. wanted to be, and they were fucking whatever. So I started to correspond with a guy who was this closeted financial guy, okay? And he would write all these dumb, you know, things about what it's like to be a guy in the closet in the finance world.
Hmm.
And he had graduated an Ivy League school and whatever. And I never saw his picture, so I would just imagine what he looked like, right? So I would correspond with him back and forth and, you know, he would talk to me and I'd be like, oh, I'm a comedian. And back then I was just like really doing open mics and everything. I was trying to, I felt so, you know, this guy had his own apartment that was really cool in the city and he was taking guys back there to fuck and all this shit and the other thing.
Yeah.
So I was like corresponding with him and I'm like, oh, maybe one day we'll meet or anything like this, which never happened. But I was like, oh, you should come to a comedy show every now and then, which he never, you know, of course he's never going to go to. But I would correspond with him, and then one day, and this is what happened in Love, Simon. We would correspond like a few times a week. So it was like, and when the email would come into my inbox, I'd be like happy, and
yeah.
be like, oh, this guy, oh, yeah. is really cool. And then one day I emailed him, and the email was no good.
Really,
it didn't work. So it was like he was, you know what
he
I
disappeared.
Mean?
Disappeared, like you were getting catfished or something.
I wonder to this day where that guy is. I'm like, did he marry a woman?
Yeah.
Did he come out of the closet? So my last ditch attempt, like the email didn't work. And I was just like, I still think about that dude.
Yeah.
That guy. Blurred. His email just was like blurred because he said, my life's a blur. And he would just tell these stories.
Yeah.
And a lot of them would be like, you know, I'm so uncomfortable. Somebody made this gay joke at work, blah, blah, blah. And then I went out and I met this guy and we ended up fucking. He would go into this detail. He knew why people wanted to read the blog. You know
right.
what I mean? He got it. Like, it was, you know, partially like, oh, I'm trying to figure myself out. But then it was like, you know, he was like, he was hung and he had such a huge dick. You know, you know what I mean?
His balls were sparkling in
yeah,
the moonlight.
Yeah, it's like all this shit, you know? And then, so one day, And I don't know what happened to him. It's like one of those people that I'll never know. I kind of knew online, but I'll never know as a human. Like, I'll never know him as a person. And it was just a weird feeling.
Well, you were connected.
We were connected in a weird way.
How old were you?
24.
And were you still in the closet?
100%.
Yeah, I mean, and you got somebody that you're sharing your intimate details with,
100%.
That you're embarrassed about or ashamed about with everybody else, that accepts you, that you're relating to, and then they just fucking disappear, of course.
Now, you know, that guy was corresponding with dudes who were hot, who were like sending pictures of their dick, you know what I mean?
Who knows?
And maybe
they love
not.
You
maybe,
for your
maybe
mind,
the
juice. Tim.
So here's the thing, like, maybe the guy was, you know, my friend said to me, he's like, that guy could have been 70. That guy
oh, yeah.
could have been living this pretend world,
yeah.
just to get like, and that flipped me out.
Could be
that
your dad. It could have been your own father.
My father has never put work in anything, let alone a blog post. You know what I mean? I'll tell you that much. That would have been a paragraph. No, his friends listen. I love my father, but my father's one of those guys who's like, oh, is it three? Well, it's quitting time.
hey, that's a good man.
Hey, it's quitting time. It's 1 o'clock. But so then I got flipped out because I'm like, oh, this fucking dude that I had imagined was exactly, but I think he still was that guy, but yeah. I have no proof of that. But I think he was this person that he said he was, which was this young finance guy who was, you know, trying to figure himself out.
Yeah.
Kind of in the, you know, certainly in the closet, experimenting and all this shit. But I'll never know. And it's weird. Yeah. Then I'm like, I want, because he knows my name. I told him my whole name and everything. So I wonder if he's ever like been like, oh, I wonder what happened to that. Because he did talk to me. We did have like meaningful conversations.
Dude, I bet he did, man. I bet. Because you don't. I mean, unless it was a complete scam where somebody was just living a different life and just like writing, you know, they just wanted to be a creative writer. So they were writing these fuck tales on, you know, blog posts and then ended up making a connection. But it, I mean, you can't correspond with somebody that much and then just not care.
I would say if he's out there and he's listening to this show, can you please piss in my mouth for subscribers?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
four subscribers.
The intimacy.
I don't even think I'm into that, but I just feel like, because it's not, I don't, if you don't want to have sex with me, it's fine. I get, hey, sure. Yeah, I get it.
Just a little piss in the mouth.
Just piss in my mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, because I talked to you for months.
Yeah.
Months of emails. I cared. And I think it might be a nice thing for you to do to kind of give back to the community, you know?
Dude, there's going to be a podcast that Serial does where they find out he's one of the smiley face killers.
And it's another thing that I'll get no money from. I'll make no revenue. By the way, when that smiley, if that ever breaks, you know, they won't go on my show. They'll go on some big show. Oh, I try to get those detectives on. I'm like, hey, assholes, you want to come on the show and maybe raise some awareness about this case you've been thumping around with for 20 years, promising these families justice and asking them for money? And then they responded like, well, we're in this thing with Oxygen. We got to see what's happening with season 2. I'm like, oh, so that's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's not
you don't
want
to get the word out.
Yeah, you don't care about finding the killer. You care about being on Oxygen so we could get a bunch of fat women as a crack detectives.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
A crack squad of fat detectives.
When they're folding that laundry, their mind starts going into detective
mode. A bunch of women eating 19 Halo tops because they think it's healthy. Sitting there watching your show.
This one's whole grain.
Yeah. These fucking clowns. Like Oxygen, some like fucking, like that's a great, you know, that's a great. We're getting the word out on Oxygen.
Dude,
you know, we're gonna put these kids' photos on the back of Lean Cuisine boxes. Hopefully, somebody finds them. You know, it's like ridiculous. Then you're like, you know, but it was a weird thing. And there's a lot of dudes now that are gay that are not coming out, or they're just like, it is what it is. There's a lot of bisexual guys. There's a lot of guys that are just like, I don't, you know, for whatever reason, they're like, I just don't feel the need to.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, that it would be a weird thing to have to declare what you're into sexually,
right?
Like with everybody. I mean, I understand the need to do it, and obviously, I'm a cisgendered white piece of shit.
Yeah.
But you know, like I would imagine it's awkward to like have to go public. You know, with something
like
that.
Well, people don't realize on stage, I have to come out every single set.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing a headlining set, I come out in the set. If I'm doing a 15-minute set, a lot of times I don't.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not working on a joke where it matters. And now, in some markets, if you say you're gay, you get goodwill.
Yeah.
So I want to be like, what can I say without them knowing that? Like, how far can I push these jokes without them knowing that? But in a headlining set, I have material about it. If I'm talking about it, it does come out.
Yeah.
But, it's, you know, and there's a lot of gay comics that never have to. That just get on stage and they're fucking cool. And, I mean, it is what it is. You could just tell, you know?
Yeah, you can tell all your racist jokes and be like, look, I'm gay. It's okay.
But a lot of the guys that I hooked up with, too, were like guys that are either in the closet or weird. Not always in the closet. A lot of them aren't. But then they're just... Some of these guys are just weird, like, some of these guys are just like, I don't tell my parents what I do.
Yeah.
I deal with one guy who has a girlfriend, and I'm like, I wonder, do you tell her? And, like, I see him on Instagram, and she's a hot chick, and I'm like, what, does she know?
That makes it even hotter, though, if it's like,
yeah.
for both of you, the fact that it's like, that it's secret. Like, right. It's, you know.
Right.
You're turning this. I know a guy who gets blown by dudes periodically.
Really?
Yeah. And
I love the way.
I'll get
love
you
the
his
word,
contact information.
I love the word periodically in that blown by dudes. Got blown by dudes periodically.
It's a biannual blowing.
Every now and then. Periodically is just. Yeah. And what's his deal? What does he say?
When I ask him about it, because I'm just like, I was giving him shit about the whole Me Too thing and stuff, because, you know, he's drunk and whatever when it's happened. And he's like, it's fine. It's not a big deal. It's just, you know, it's like, I don't care. I'm not really tied down to anything. And I'm like, well, do people, he's like, yeah, I mean, my girl knows or whatever, you know, and she's aware of it, but you know, it's just one of those things I do when I start drinking. And yeah. It's just like, okay. I mean, all right. Hey, live
it's
your life.
It's interesting.
But it is weird when somebody who you have no idea that you know has something like that you have a preconceived notion, and then they go, oh yeah, I got drunk last night and this dude blew me. It's like, oh.
There's a lot of dudes. I tell everybody, if in your close friend, group of close friends, there's one of your friends has gotten blown by a dude. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Oh yeah.
May not talk about it. May happen more than once. May not talk about it. There's definitely a guy. If you have more than six friends or even less, you know, there's no way that one of those dudes has done something that, you know, they haven't, you know, disclosed to you. And that makes people think. Like, I've told people that, and they're sitting back and they're kind of like, wow, that makes me think.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, it's fucking sexuality. You know, sometimes people, you get in the mood, you know, the music's right. You're in the right context. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to go down? You know, I do like your buddy who got the roommate who's nuts, who's telling about his uncle reaching out. I feel like there's those situations too where somebody will tell a story like that to kind of prep them. Like, you know what I mean? Because who knows? If he was still in that house, he could have done the uncle move you know, in the middle of the night and just be like, oh, sorry, I was abused as a child.
Yeah, that's my friend's like radically straight. He's like Howard Stern straight, where he's like afraid of men. He's afraid of like seeing a dick because he doesn't know what'll happen, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like a sex, you know, Ray Kump had a great point about this guy. Ray Kump's like, oh, you're a sex addict, but, you know, you don't every now and then see what a dick's about. You know? What kind of addict is that?
Yeah, not
what
a
kind
very,
of sex addict's that?
Not very thorough.
I was a drug addict. If you showed up with a pill I hadn't taken, I'd be like, let's take it for a spin.
Yeah. You never did heroin, though, right?
No, I never did heroin. I never did. What am I going to find a vein for an hour? It's embarrassing. Sit there and tie seven garden hoses around myself. Like, a vein pops out. What kind of. Doing yoga?
Who has the time?
Who has the time?
Who has the time?
Who
it's
has
a full time job.
Who has the fucking. But I remember I used to live with my grandmother, and I would have to get guy. Like, I would have a guy. I had this kid come over, and I say kid, I don't mean kid. He was like 19, he was home from college. And he was a kid that went, and he came over, and it's when I was living with my grandmother in Long Island. I was living with my grandmother. I don't know why I thought, like, my grandmother went to church, and then after church, Cheryl from the church was taking her to get groceries. Cheryl was crazy religious. Cheryl used to, like, my grandmother was a very liberal, devout Catholic, but smart, like, liberal, just got a doctorate from NYU, like,
oh, wow.
Took a few classes at Yale, very smart. Cheryl was a, like, complete, like, hellfire and brimstone Catholic Inquisition. And, like, Cheryl would tell the kids, like, your dog doesn't go to heaven. And then the kids would cry and they would tell my grandmother, like, and my grandmother would bring her in and be like, hey, Cheryl, let's, she'd be like, Halloween is Satan's holiday. And my grandmother would be like, Cheryl. Let's rein it in a little bit. Let's just, the kids are seven.
I'm not going to hide the truth from your children.
Right.
I'm not going to do it.
Right. So, you know, Cheryl, I think, once told the kids, like, the kid was like, my parents are divorced. Will they go to hell? And Cheryl's like, well, yeah. Like, you know, these kids are like 8 years old. My grandma's like, Cheryl, let's not. So Cheryl loved my grandmother. So Cheryl would take my grandmother's shop. So I had this kid come in, 19 years old, but looked young.
How old were you?
Probably around that age.
Okay.
20. Well, how old was I?
You're like, this was last week.
It would be. I have no. If I listen, I mean, I don't care. In the gay community, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's really not. It's. I mean, it's like, it's like, you're dudes. So it's like.
Right. Everybody's trying to fuck.
It's kind of like. So this guy comes over. He's 19, but he looks young, and he's coming back from college, and he comes over to the house, and he's in, like, basketball shorts, and he's in, like, he really looked no good. I think I was, like, 28 or whatever.
Basketball shorts, though, they're revealing.
But this was, like, no good. Like, if you saw this, you would go, oh, I should call the cops, you know? Like, this was something where you would see this in a, you would see this and be like, oh, this is a documentary on Netflix. No good, you know? The guy comes over in basketball shorts, like, kind of like, you know, comes in. He's like, I'm kind of hungry. So I was like, oh, I'll make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? So I make him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Again, weird feeling there. Not good. Seems odd. So I make him the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We go into the room that I'm in. We don't do any, like, we're not fucking or anything. We suck each other off. I think I eat his ass for a little while. And then we watch Game of Thrones. Okay.
Okay.
And good looking, you know, whatever. Then I hear the sound of bags rumbling, like grocery bags.
Yeah.
And my grandmother and Cheryl walk in the house. Now he's naked on a bed watching Game of Thrones. I'm naked on a bed watching Game of Thrones.
You got to get ready for
my grandmother and, you know, Cheryl, who thinks the Virgin Mary talks to her every night, are in the living room unloading groceries. So now I have to figure out some type of thing. So I'm like, all right. So he gets dressed, and then I bring him out, and I'm like, oh, I have a friend over. And my grandma's like, my grandmother knows I don't have any friends. What friends?
It's a red
You're
flag.
A loser. You're a 28-year-old loser who's trying to be a comedian who works on a tour bus. What friend? What do you want? Drugs again? Like, what? Who's signed on to this? So, and then he just comes walking out, and the look on Cheryl's face, because Cheryl was kind of like, she knew what it was, but she didn't want to know what it was.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't want to call it out.
She didn't want to call it out, but she kind of knew what it was.
Yeah.
And it was just the most awkward. And it was just, and this is before Uber, so I had to call the kid a cab and put him in a cab.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was so, and then everyone on my block was outside for some reason because it was like the spring. And they're all watching me put this clearly younger dude in a cab. And, like, people were just looking at me, like, shaking their heads, you know? And they were like, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, to fuck them. You know, I mean,
it was just one of those instances where it's like, that's what Love, Simon should be.
Right.
That's what Love, Simon is.
Fucking
you're
a weird 19-year-old.
A kid's ass, watching Game of Thrones. In your grandmother's room, but not her room, your room, in your grandmother's bungalow, and then her and her religious friend Cheryl come in to unload the groceries, and you have to walk the dude out of there.
Dude, that's like a video game right there. That's like a mission.
That's what Love, Simon is, you know?
Did I? Let me ask you this. Did you watch Moonlight?
Yes.
Did you like Moonlight?
I thought it was good, yeah.
I enjoyed Moonlight. The only part I didn't like was the beach hand job.
Yeah.
I didn't get
that. I've never been into hand jobs.
Yeah,
I don't like hand jobs.
There's got to be sand on his hand.
Yeah, I've never been a hand job guy. I don't get it. It's not for me.
I mean, I don't know. I started to completely sidetrack.
Everyone now has problems getting hard, though, because a lot of people are taking anti-anxiety and depression pills since they're 4 years old.
Oh, yeah, and they're
so
all watching
So they can't get hard. The best thing they get is a half, and you're just playing around with it all the time, like smacking it, putting it in the microwave. You're trying to do anything you can to get a hard dick out of some of these, you know, Adderall zombies that I'm trying to fuck here, and they're just, they're kind of just rolling around like, you know, this really good-looking kid that just can't get hard, and it's like, you know, you're just making out with him naked, and he's just got this soft dick the whole time, and you're like, okay, well, this is...
That's no good.
This is not great, but, you know, I mean, I'm not exactly, you know, Zac Efron, so I'm like, well...
I don't think that's what it is. So I grew up religious. I remember they used to say, no porn. Porn's a sin.
Yeah, maybe so, that's it. Maybe everyone's doing too much porn.
I think it's the porn, man, because, like, it scales. First, you just see nudity. You see genitals, and you're just like, oh my God, and you're rock hard. And then before long, you gotta, you know, somebody's gonna be ripping a cat's leg.
Sometimes
off.
That benefits me because I'm a cat's leg.
I can't come unless
sometimes
cat's
that benefits me though because I'm
leaving.
A fetish. So if people get like, I had one guy once who just grabbed my stomach and screamed for the whole time. Like he would just grab my stomach and go, ah! Like he was
during
just,
sex?
Well, we weren't even having sex. We were just hooking up, and then he was just grabbing my stomach and like mashing it together and screaming, going, ah! And I think that's a fetish. Because I didn't know what it was, and then I said to someone, I think I put up on Facebook, I'm like, what is that? And they're like, oh, that's a fetish. I thought he was having an episode, but he was just grabbing the stomach, just going, ah!
Having an episode.
Screaming at the top of his lungs, not in like pleasure, like screaming like someone was trying to kill him.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody explained it to me that was a fetish.
Yeah, I mean,
but
hey, whatever, you know, rocks your socks,
whatever floats your boat. Yeah. I mean, I just that's, you know, that, but that's what Love, Simon should be.
Yeah,
Love, Simon should have ended with a fat guy getting grabbed and have someone screw, because that's more interesting. That's more interesting.
They were doing on the Ferris wheel.
Shouldn't we be fascinated or interested in something? Does everything have to give you that? This is my problem with things. It's like everything has to give you that warm, fuzzy feeling that everything's going to be okay. Nothing is going to be okay.
Right.
Nothing. So knowing that is beautiful. Knowing that we're all dying, we're decaying, we're in these fucking, everything's horrible. Everything. Knowing that is great. Let's make some shit that fills you with the feeling of dread.
Yeah.
And not the feeling of hope. Let's go the other way. And if you made Love, Simon with me and you had a scene where a guy was just grabbing my stomach and mashing my fat together and screaming at the top of his lungs.
Credits.
God only knows what happened to him. I used to say all the time, I think a lot of the guys I hooked up with were molested at a young age because my body type, you have to get introduced to young. I used to do that joke.
Huh.
Didn't really work. Sometimes people loved it. Trump Hatton liked it. He's like, never stop doing it. I'm like, all right. So
I think,
you know,
there's something to that. There's a connection.
There's something to that, yeah.
If you learn sexuality with a certain context, when you're having sex again, you want to reinstill that context a lot of the time.
Right.
And usually people learn about sex in a fucked up way. You know?
I just, with this episode, it's like, God only knows where they put these ads. God only knows. God only knows where they put these advertisements. But
well, dude, when you're talking about not being able to get hard, Blue Chew, right
Blue
there.
Blue Chew's huge.
Right there.
Get the Blue Chew, folks. Stop it. Stop with the soft dick. Nobody likes it. Okay?
Nobody likes
it.
It's embarrassing.
Unless you're a fucking pedo or a weirdo. Hard dick.
It's hard to do anything with a soft dick.
It really is. It really is.
Grocery shopping, anything.
You can't do much with it. And every now and then you can't do much with a hard dick. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, I've been there.
Sometimes you just... Kevin, tell people where to find you. You're a really funny comedian. You've got a lot of shit going on. You're one of the guys I'm going to be hopefully seeing a lot more of when I'm out here. I'm moving here June. I'll be here full
time.
Dude,
I'm so excited.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Are you moving in with Oscar? Or is he
not going
to
be
there?
West Hollywood. I'm right around the block from the Improv. And, you know, so hopefully they'll book me once every 4 months.
Dude, that's how it goes out here.
I could go into the lab and make a bunch of influencers laugh.
Dude. Three years ago, the talent booker at the Hollywood Improv told me they love my stuff. They'd love to see a guy like me more on their stages, and we'd love to get involved. And I didn't get booked for 2.5 years. And I just like, well.
You know what's fascinating to me? I'm like, why? Remember that guy who killed himself by the Comedy Store? He jumped off that hotel. I'm like, why are people not doing that 4 times a week? all the people that I know, I'm like, why are you not blowing your brains out in the lobby of these comedy clubs?
Hey, it would be justified. It would make sense.
I mean, the amount of no's these fuckers hear, they are resilient as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, nobody is going to have some fun.
Yeah. You can find me at Kevin Tienken on Twitter and Instagram, TienKen. I also do a weekly podcast with my buddy Evan called Rippin' and Skippin', which is completely different than this podcast. It's mostly impressions and voices. I've spared Tim from having to do my podcast.
I'll do it.
Oh, it's absolute insanity. If you want to get in the vortex,
I'll do it.
I think you would have fun. I'll have you on.
Yeah. This was a good episode because I addressed all the haters out there or saying I'm a heterosexual. That's not true. You've never eaten the ass of a nice college boy while your grandmother puts away baked beans.
Yeah. You can talk shit
sometimes you eat
about
an ass,
Love, Simon.
You realize that it's an ass. You go, this is an ass. It's still an ass. Like, as fun or as exciting or as subversive as you think you're being,
it's still a fucking
still
shit
ass.
Shoot.
It's like swallowing cum. You go, it always seems like it would be a great thing to do. And then when you do it, you're like, this didn't have to happen. You know? Like, you go, all right, this is different than the movies. There it is. I want to go see Avengers. I got to see Avengers Endgame.
Dude, I just watched it with my wife and kids. It's very good. It's 3+ hours long. It is very long.
Well, let me tell you. What else do people in this country have to do?
Dude,
let me tell you right now.
Nothing.
It might as well be 18 hours long. These fuckers have nothing to do. A lot of them.
Yeah.
Make it 7 hours. They should start making movies 7 hours and see if people go to them, because guess what? They will.
Absolutely.
They will absolutely. What do you do with your Saturday? I'm seeing the new Avengers movie. It starts at 10 a.m. It lets out at 9 p.m. You know?
It's great.
Yeah.
Lots of twists.
You know? They don't give a fuck. Now, do people take the phones out during 3 hours? Can people handle 3 hours without the phone?
You know what? I didn't see anybody pulling their phone out. I pulled my phone out because Ben was calling me about this.
Are you a Game of Thrones guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you happy with the season, where it's at?
Did you watch the most recent episode?
I did. I'm up to date.
Dude, I'm digging it. I'm digging it. We'll see what happens.
Who do you want to be on the Iron Throne at the end?
I mean, I kind of want Jon to be on the throne, you know, at the end. I mean, that's been...
Knowing me.
Yeah.
Who do I want?
Fuck. God damn it. I can't remember the guy's name.
It's not a guy.
Oh, it's not?
It's not a guy.
You want Cersei on the Iron Throne.
You're damn fucking right. Cersei? Why does Cersei get no support other than the fact... No, literally. Why does Cersei get no support other than the fact that she's a woman?
I mean, she's fucking her brother.
Fucking hot as fuck. If that was my brother, I would have sex with my brother.
If I
had an attractive cousin that would fuck me that I liked, I would fuck my cousin. Cousin.
I would fuck my brother
if
he was
first cousin.
You could cut off all of his limbs and I'd still fuck him.
I would fuck my first cousin if I was attracted to a hot cousin. If I had a hot cousin that said, "Do you want to fuck it?" I'd be like, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
I would not feel weird about that at all.
Well, you don't have to worry about having a retarded kid or anything. You know, you're good.
If I had a hot cousin, I'd adopt a kid with my cousin. Literally, I would. I don't care. I literally don't care. Why not?
I got no good arguments for me.
I don't understand people's weirdness about having sex with their family.
Yeah. You know what? They're closed-minded. They're closed-minded.
No, I'm not.
People
I'm
think
kidding,
they're so
I'm
little.
I'm kind of being serious.
Yeah.
Like, well, think about it. Think about this.
It looks like a good peach.
You have a hot cousin. Hot.
Yeah.
Cousin.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know each other well. You like each other.
Lots to talk about.
Got a lot of... Fuck that. You got a lot of... talking about that. You got a hot cousin that wants to fuck. You don't fuck your cousin?
I mean, I get it. I mean, I don't fuck anybody.
That's, well, you're married.
As a rule.
You're married.
But a hot cousin, in general, I mean, you
second
know.
Cousin, I wouldn't even think about. Second cousin, I'd hit on. Like, but, second cousin, I would send dick pics to at a holiday.
How close, are you wanting to get? I mean, what if your dad's really hot and he wants to fuck? I mean,
it's not the situation.
But
if I had a hot dad, would I fuck my hot dad?
Two consenting adults.
Listen. Listen. If I had a hot dad, like a real daddy, mm-hmm. like a guy made a lot of money,
salt and pepper beard, maybe.
Guy, and he had a lot of money, and he just took his big dick out all the time.
Yeah. Picks you up in his caddy, pulls his dick out.
Would I suck my... If my dad was really hot and really and really rich...
Why not?
Would I suck him off? Probably.
I mean, if it's fair.
Listen, I'm one of these people that I believe that life is really, you gotta, it's up for the taking. You gotta go and get it.
Live life to the fullest.
You gotta go and get life.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Find life and get it.
Grab life by the dick.
You gotta go and get it. So, now there's a lot of homophobic people that will hear this podcast and attack me for saying that if I had a hot dad, I would fuck my dad. And you should fuck your dad. There are homophobic people out there that don't understand sexuality and they don't understand anything. So their heteronormative ways of looking at the world would be like, oh, no, of course you don't fuck your first cousin. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Dude, what I love is thinking of the podcast listener that found your podcast from one of your more serious episodes.
Yes.
Like when you had the CIA guy.
I'm dead serious about fucking my hot cousin. If I had a hot cousin, I'm not even lying. If I had a hot cousin that wanted to bone, I would be like, let's do it.
I feel like and you're trying to send out a message.
No, they're not. They're not. They really look like shit, to be honest. They really do.
What if they dropped a few pounds? You know, they dropped a few LBs.
Some of them were decent early on. A lot of them, they're in relationships now, and a lot of them they've let it go. They've let themselves go.
I mean, but you're having a few drinks, maybe a couple of eggnogs at a Christmas party.
I'm not fucking my cousin unless they're hot. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not gonna fuck a 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I got a hot cousin. And
really?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, you're growing up, you just what's around. You know, look around and she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I just it was a real struggle for me growing up, you know, to not put the vibes out.
Yeah. And would you ever fantasize about your cousin?
I don't know if I'd go so far as fantasizing. The most weird sexual shit that happened family-wise was I was young.
So many people are getting so hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
It was me and my cousin. It was a dude, and we were and we were playing army.
Oh
so
yeah,
he was like 13. I was 10.
No. You were both 18. No.
It was sunset.
Hold on.
No, I remember because we were playing army, and then we're at my grandma's house. Grandma's there's a hotbed.
Yeah.
And I remember him being like, "Well, we're gonna go on leave. You know, we're going to war. So we got one night. So let's grab our girls and go up to the bedroom." So we literally, I remember going up to like this bedroom that had two twin beds separated by like a wall. And he's like, "All right, you take your girl over there. I'll take my girl over here." And then I just sat in the bed. I don't know what he was doing in the other bed. But it was very interesting.
Pretty intense. I'm just telling everybody right now that if I had a hot first cousin that wanted to fuck, I would fuck them all the time. And thanks for listening. Goodbye.